Grab your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Chronicles with me. 1 Chronicles. How many of you have heard the statement, nothing lasts forever? Nothing lasts forever. Seems like tired lasts forever. Amen. Seems like tired lasts forever. By the way, praise the Lord, Brother Danny got that bus running again. Had an alternator issue that we had to change out, and he took care of that for us. Praise the Lord for that. Buses, how they do today so far, do we know? Good, good. It's difficult when you're coming off of vacation Bible school. They have to work double hard. I mean, they have to work double hard to get the buses filled at vacation Bible school. Then they have to work double hard again to keep them filled because the buses are running in the afternoon. See, that's the big problem all the time. And the buses run in the afternoon for vacation Bible school. You think, well, that's no problem. We'll just keep those same kids. But then we switch to the morning for Sunday. And when you do for the morning on Sunday, the kids don't get out of bed. So the whole thing is getting phone numbers, doing knocking, and all those things to make sure the kids get up early. And so praise the Lord. The bus workers are working very, very hard. I hope you know that. It's very important ministry. I watched the kids get off the bus this morning, and I can't tell you enough. They don't have a chance without church. They just don't. I know the kids' lives. I've seen them, and they don't have a chance without church. So praise the Lord for all the work that the bus workers are doing. Praise the Lord that you go to a church that runs buses. Most of the churches are going off of the buses because it is very expensive to do. But you have to run them. Eternity matters. Eternity matters. But anyways, what endures for eternity? What endures for nothing lasts forever? Well, that's not entirely true. You study your Bible, you'll understand that quite a few things do last forever. Quite a few things have an eternity to them, and I want to talk to you about some of those today. This is going to be a lot of Bible turning. I hope you're ready and able to do that this morning. But we're going to start out in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. What endures forever? What endures forever? What endures for eternity? If you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, in verse 34, the Bible says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And I bet you about 100 times the Bible says his mercy endureth forever. What will last forever? I promise you this, God's mercy will last forever. There's days, this is what bothers me. One of the angst that I have, and I've had several of them that have come to my head and to my heart lately, the angst that I have, how little we thank God for what he does for us. How much we're willing to complain about life, and life is not easy. I'm full well understanding that is not easy. There's things that come into our lives that are difficult, things that come into our lives that make it demanding. But understand this: without those things, how good would God be? See, I know that sounds not so fun, but understand this: you go through trials and you go through afflictions and you go through those things, so you see on the other side how good God is. And God is good all the time. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you've been through. And I know that's not popular sometimes to hear those things, but God is good all the time. His mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that his mercy will never, ever go away? There's never going to be a day when there's no mercy from God. Never going to be a day. There's never going to be a time when God's not merciful towards you and towards the things that you're going through. But it's easy, especially in America, especially with the current generation that's coming up, it's easy for them to complain themselves out of work. It's easy to complain themselves out of church. It's easy to complain themselves out of doing what God wants us to do. And I got to be honest with you, just between you and I really think it's about time we get about God's business. I really think it's about time for us to stop worrying about what everything's going on around us and start doing what God wants us to do. Because I got to be honest with you, the time grows short. Are you telling me that all the signs, you've heard preaching for years, some of you 30 and 40 years, are you telling me God can't come back right now? Are you telling me that there's things that have not happened yet in prophecy that God can't come back right now? I think we're there. I think we're at a point where God could come back anytime. My question is this: if we know the truth and we've got a great God, we know how good He is, why in the world don't we serve Him? We will use many excuses to not serve God. We use many excuses to not do what God wants us to do. But at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to last for eternity as far as our work goes is the things that we do for God. You know, I hear constant complaining, and it is what it is. I complain too. But it's amazing to me how much we complain about going to church. Good Lord, have mercy. I wouldn't make it if I didn't go to church. Well, you're a preacher. I know, but this is the only time I get a break from life. I want to come. Why? Because God's mercy is prevalent here. You walk into God's house, God's mercy is prevalent here. Thank God the air conditioning works. Half of us wouldn't show because the air was off. You know, it's amazing to me how many things we can come up with to keep us out of doing what God wants us to do. Christian, I have a question for you. Did God save you? If God saved you, then you can do something for Him. If you're not doing something for Him, then what are we doing? I know I've been harping on service lately, but I want us to get a heart to serve the Lord. I want us to get a heart to want to do things for God. I want us to get a heart to add things to our eternity, His mercy. How good is God? Think about this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Did you spend any time this last week thanking God for what He's done? Did you spend any time this last week thanking God for what He's done? If He's done nothing else, you just got an eternal home waiting for you. We'll get to that in a minute. Isn't that good? Isn't it wonderful to know? I participated in 3 funerals this week. 2 out of the 3, I can just about guarantee those people are not in heaven. You're going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a place that there's no more tears? Man, that's so good. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a place where there's no suffering? Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a place with no headaches? Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a place that the toil is over? Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a place that we're going to eventually that the buses don't break down? Isn't it wonderful that we're going to a place, not only all those wonderful things, no toil, no strife, no suffering, isn't it wonderful that's where God's going to be and we're going to get to see Him? Sometimes I think we get too carried away with the things of this world. And I'm not talking about getting into bad things. I'm talking about letting them bring you down to a point where you can't serve God anymore. That's easy to do, isn't it? What things last forever? His mercy does. If you look at these, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For He is good. I say that a lot. I say it over and over to myself. God is good. He's always good. Sometimes I don't understand it. Tragedy strikes. And you want to blame God. It's easy to do. Isn't it easy to do? You want to blame God. You want to say, God, why did you let this happen? Well, the key is He did. But He's always good. I can't explain it. I can't understand it. But God is always good no matter what. His mercy endureth forever. Look at Psalms 111.3. I'm sorry. Psalms 111.3. Psalm 111, we'll start in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. These things are things that the Lord gives us so we can realize that the works of the Lord are great. As you watched our Vacation Bible School unfold this last week, we understand that the works of the Lord are great. As you watch your life unfold for the Lord, you see that the works of the Lord are great. As you watch yourself and how you get closer to Him unfold, you realize how wonderful the Lord is and how the works of His works are great, and His righteousness endureth forever. Why is that important? Why is it important to have God's righteousness endureth forever? Why? Because we must come to the understanding that if the Bible's true and the Bible's holy and the Bible is right, then God must therefore follow what it says because He gave it to us. So if He gave it to us and His righteousness is there, where's God's righteousness? Let's turn to, I didn't have this plan, let's do this. Where's God's righteousness? Let's look at Romans. I didn't have this plan. This might work out after all. Romans chapter 1, where's God's righteousness? The righteousness that's going to last forever. Where is that righteousness? You better thank God today, because I'm going to tell you, God's good to you. Look at this now. For I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What in the world is the righteousness? Where is the righteousness of God? I'll show you where it's at. If you can go to a place called Calvary, where's the righteousness of God revealed? As you follow Christ, as He bears that cross to Calvary, and then Simon picks it up and takes it. Christ, that beaten and disfigured man, walking in front of that cross to His place at Golgotha's Hill, walking there and having them pound the nails into His hands, into His feet, and put that cross into the ground, every bone coming out of joint. Where is the righteousness of God revealed? It's revealed in the simple fact that God took the cup for every man, poured it upon His only begotten Son, the perfect Lamb, the perfect, unblemished, unspotted. And when Jesus Christ says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the righteousness of God is forever. And He judged your sin on the cross at Calvary. He judged it in His own Son. And that lasts forever. That lasts forever. Hey, kids got saved this week. Do you know why? Because God's righteousness lasts forever. That judgment on sin, that payment, that propitiation is paid, and it's never going to have to be paid again. That's why you don't have to be saved over and over and over again. It's been paid for. Once for all, the righteousness of God, He judged sin in the only one that could take it. He judged sin in the only sacrifice that was worthy was Him. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to take the sacrifice. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy to die for men's sins. You're not worthy. No man has ever lived that could ever, ever take that righteousness of God except Christ. And as we walk in this earth and we complain and we wonder why, oh, why, God? Well, I'll tell you right now, take your place at the foot of Calvary's cross. Take your place in front of the bleeding Savior. Take your place in front of that Lamb that was without blemish and without spot. Take your place there, and I bet that you don't complain so much about the things of God. I'll amen myself. Amen! I know you're tired. I understand that. But you've got to understand this. How exciting is it to be a Christian? How exciting is it to know that your sins are paid? How exciting is it to know that even though you complain and even though you whine and even though you murmur, God is still gracious all the time? He didn't decide, well, this generation isn't good enough. I'm going to take my righteousness away. He didn't say that, did He? He said it's going to endure forever. I think that gives Him reason to be praised. Amen? Look back at Psalm 111 again. In verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. You know, it's amazing. Nothing lasts forever, but it seems to me we've gone through three things already that do. His praise endureth forever. You know, we'll have a reason to do that forever. There's never going to be a time when you don't have a reason to praise God. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. There's still a reason to praise God. You don't know what I've been through. There's still a reason to praise God. You don't understand that this is what I want and God's not giving it to me. There's still a reason to praise God. And by the way, all those things are very real. I'm not minimizing what you're going through. Everybody's problems to them are giant, big problems that stand in front of them. I understand that. I've got big problems as well, but those big problems that stand in front of me, they pale in comparison to the praise that I should be willing to offer my God because of how great He is, how much He loves me, how much He's taken care of me. Good night. Every single time that I get an opportunity to preach or an opportunity to minister in any way, how good is God? Old sinful drunkard, God kept alive through all those years so I could do something for Him. I owe Him everything. Oh, and I know that's easy preaching, and I know that some of you are going through, well, you're a preacher, you should feel that way. You know what? You're saved, you ought to feel that way. We get so worried about what in the world. Man alive, the Indians could lose a couple games and it'll ruin your whole week. They're going to lose. Let it go. We spend so much time worrying about any other thing in the whole wide world when Christ's righteousness lasts forever. Christ's mercy lasts forever. That's never going to go away. I'm not minimizing what you're going through, but I am doing this. Don't you minimize what He went through. Don't minimize in our life. It's exciting to see new saved people. It's exciting to see how excited they are about the things of God. It's exciting to see how they can't wait to serve in every aspect. They feel like they just got saved and they owe a debt. You know, Christian, I don't understand why we let that go away. I'm guilty. You become mature. Don't you? Just for a moment, we get spiritual. And we feel like God rises and falls in us. And because of that, well, I don't need to get excited about God anymore. I've got Him in my heart. That's enough. You know, I'm going to tell you, the God that's in your heart is dying to get out every once in a while. He's dying to show forth in anything you do. And I'm not talking about getting crazy in church. I'm talking about just smiling every once in a while, because you got something that most people don't. How good is God? What lasts forever? Well, His praise does. He's worthy of it, isn't He? Isn't He worthy to be praised? Isn't He worthy to be talked about? Isn't He worthy? That's what bothers me about myself more than anything else in the whole wide world. And I got lots of problems. Please, I'm a mess. But you know what bothers me is when I don't talk about Him. Does that bother you? When you've got something most people don't have, you've got something in front of you, you got something inside of your heart that just can't wait to break out, and yet we have a hard time talking about Him, don't we? We have a hard time passing out that tract for fear that somebody might think we're weird. I'll tell you, I'll never forget this. I've told this story before, but my best friend, growing up, my best friend, lived next door to me, 17, 18 years. We chummed around every single day. It wasn't until about 6 or 8 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, but it wasn't about 6 or 8 years ago. I'd been in the ministry for 10, 12 years already. I got my buddy in the car, and I says, hey, I got to talk to you. And it's difficult witnessing to your friends, isn't it? Isn't it difficult? I mean, you just don't want them to get mad. You know, you don't want them to think less of you. And we're talking, and I told him about the Lord. And without hesitation, he accepted Christ as his Savior without hesitation. I couldn't believe it. I was amazed. And this got me. And what bothers me is I still don't have this in me today to keep doing this. But he looked at me and he says, can I ask you a question now? I said, oh boy. Jordan, he looked at me and said, why'd you wait so long? Here I thought I was going to lose him as my friend. And then he's sitting right in the car next to me and says, why'd you wait so long to tell me about Christ? Because if my destination was hell until just a couple minutes ago, don't you think you should have been a little bit more concerned? And there is a fellow that just got saved that I should care about. I mean, there's strangers in this world that you should care about, but certainly, I mean, it's funny. We have a hard time witnessing to our family and telling our family about Christ, but shouldn't those be the very people that we're most concerned about? I mean, shouldn't those be the ones we go to first? And I understand it's not easy. I understand it's hard because they're going to make fun of you. But you know what? Isn't that persecution worth the praise? Isn't it worth it to just let them know? I mean, good Lord, half my family thinks I'm a snake charmer. Half my family thinks I'm a holy roller, getting stooped and spitting everywhere. Spitting everywhere is true, but everything else, you know. But shouldn't they be the first ones I talk to? Shouldn't my friends be the first one I talk? Shouldn't they be the first ones I praise God to? Shouldn't they be listening? Shouldn't I be willing to say right off the bat, God, I praise you? Shouldn't I be willing to tell the story of how many good things God has done in my life? Shouldn't I be willing to have that on my lips? Shouldn't I be willing to praise Him? And I found myself witnessing to my friend sheepishly, not wanting to offend him. And then he had the question of the year. Why'd you wait so long? Think about that, Christian. What would happen if he would have died? What would happen? I went to my grandmother's deathbed. She's laying there, and God kept her alive. I know He did. But He didn't have to. God's so good. And I went to her, and I told her about the Lord, and I think she accepted the Lord, but boy, I don't have full assurance of that. What did I wait on? Why did I wait to tell her about the Lord? Why did I wait to tell her about Christ? Why did I wait to tell her about salvation? Why did I wait to tell her about the righteousness that's going to endure forever? Why did I wait? I don't have the reason. I don't have the answer. I don't know why I waited. And here I am with an opportunity, starting anew to tell people about Christ and how wonderful His praise is. And I got to be honest with you, I think we'd be a lot more apt to tell people about Christ if we were more apt to tell them about the goodness of God. How wonderful He is. See, our problem is we don't remember the good things that He's done. You ever have that in your life where you get so wrapped up with all the bad that you forget about how good God is? Can you name one thing off the top of your head where God's been good to you? Take out salvation. Can you name one thing that God's been good to you? See, to me, I think we can make up a list of things that God has been good to us. And sometimes what we need is this. Sometimes we need to look at how good God is. Look at the little things that God does. Look at the little blessings that you get from time to time from God. We're waiting for the clothesline to light on fire and a Brinks truck to drop a money bag in front of our house. Then God's good. But if we would notice the little things, I wonder if we'd be more apt to praise Him. If we notice the little things, I wonder, hey, the air condition's working. Praise God. Hey, the bus got fixed. Hey, they had the alternator in stock, Brother Dan. God's good. Didn't have to be in stock. That's a simple little stupid thing, isn't it? Hey, the owner showed up just before we bought the wrong alternator and he got us the right one. Not us, me. I didn't know any different. He looked at me and said, this ain't the right one. I said, well, I didn't think it was, but I didn't know. Hey, isn't it good to know that God was watching out? Isn't it good to know that God took care of that? All right, preacher. Well, what about when the buses didn't pass inspection for so long? What about then? Hey, God had a reason for that. Don't know what it was. Maybe the buses would have gotten a wreck. Maybe would have turned one of them over. Who knows? But God does. See, we have to think about ways. How do we praise God? How do we praise Him? What do we praise Him for? Everything. Are you waiting on the big things to praise God for? Hey, you made it here this morning, still breathing air and everything. I remember, I'll never forget, one of the greatest praisers of God I've ever met in my entire life was Mary Reinhart. You could give her a sack of dirt out of her own yard. Not even store-bought topsoil. Just a shovel of dirt out of her yard, handed it to her. She would act like that was the greatest thing she's ever been given in her entire life. I've seen people give her some of the dumbest stuff ever. And she would act like that was the greatest thing. She would, oh, and she would tell you, God's so good. She was ultra diabetic. She had to take her blood about 8 times a day. She had 85 bottles of pills sitting on her table. She had a system where she would take one and then flip the bottle over knowing that she took it. Otherwise, she wouldn't get it. She would go into diabetic comas quite often. She would go through kidney problems and pain, heart problems. Good Lord, she'd pop 6-8 nitro pills if preacher got excited while he was preaching. Because her heart was coming out of her chest. Because she was having a hard time with her heart. But glory to God, she'd praise God every day. I found a black August. In her house is 8 million degrees. Calling my house saying, Brother Dave, come get my stove running. Mary, it's 100 degrees outside. I know I'm getting cold. I'd walk in there and every burner on the stove would be on and the oven door would be open. She'd be standing in front of it just like this. Praising God that she's got a stove. I pulled a black squirrel out of her stove one time. A black squirrel. And I don't know if it started out black, but when I pulled it out, it was black. And I showed it to her and said, hey, Mary, what, are you cooking dinner? What are you doing? She says, oh, he must have been looking for a warm place during the wintertime. So well, he found it. He really did. I wonder if sometimes we're not waiting so much on the big things, on the big praises, that sometimes we don't miss out on the little ones. His praise endureth forever. We're going to have a long time to praise Him in heaven. Boy, I'm going to get so excited about that. Not only does His praise last forever, look at Psalm 135. Psalm 135 and verse 13, Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. You know what is exciting about this verse? Where's this verse located? Can anybody tell me where this verse is located? It's in Psalms. Where's Psalms? Is Psalms in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? Wait, what's this say again? Thy name, O Lord, and what? Memorial? Memorial before He was born? Memorial before He died? How good is God? How good is God to reveal? He revealed in the Old Testament some things. How it's going to have to be for us to be saved. How it's going to have to be. And Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. There's hardly anywhere in the whole wide world that if you said the name Jesus, they don't at least know. They've at least heard it. And what's amazing to me, although they don't know who He is, they don't know anything about Him, generally His name is known. Generally His memorial endureth forever. And I'm so glad that it's kind of paved the way for us a little bit. Now, the name of Christ has been so distorted throughout all the generations that you get all kind of different ideas of who Jesus is out there. But there's only one Christ and only one memorial. And I'm going to tell you, it's a memorable one, amen? It lasts forever. 1 Peter 1:25, you know I'd get here eventually. You knew I'd get here eventually. Huh. 1 Peter 1:25, His mercy endureth forever. His righteousness, His praise, His name, and His memorial last forever. In verse 25, the Bible says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word. And let me tell you something. I'm getting real, real itchy. Because there's a lot of independent, well, I'm going to start taking titles off their name instead of adding it too. There's a lot of churches out there that will tell you that it's okay to take out that NIV soul winning. It's okay to take that RSV out soul winning. It's okay to take it, whatever you want to take, go ahead and take it. And a lot of churches are saying that. I'm going to tell you, you better be careful. You better make sure it lines up with Scripture. And I'm telling you with all my heart, it doesn't. Look at this. But the word, the, how many? How many word? How many? One. The word. There's only one. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is, how many? The word. How many? One. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Don't you tell me you can take anything out there you want to take. God is not mocked. Let me tell you something about this. Your testimony is not going to get anybody saved. I get so sick and tired of hearing about that. I tell them my story and they'll get saved. Baloney. You might find common ground. You might find something that'll kind of ease it in. I'm not going to tell you that you got to go with the Bible and beat them over the head with it. But what I am telling you is this. When you go to win somebody to Christ, you better have that word hidden in your heart. You better have that word in your hand. You better have that word, because I'm going to tell you, if what I'm reading in this Bible is true, there's only one word, and it doesn't make any sense to me that you can tell them anything you want and they'll get saved. Who saves them? Whose way is it going to be? So if it's going to be His way and His salvation, don't you think it's got to be His word? That's just, hey, listen. I don't understand the thought process except for this. Except for this, man has an innate desire to get in the way. Does he not? Man has an innate desire to make himself better than other men. Man has an innate desire to take the people that are above him out of his way so he can have the preeminence. Not willing to wait on God, not willing to care about God, although he says he's doing that. If you've got a preacher that comes to you, let me ask you a question. You're smart people. If you have a preacher that comes to you and says it's okay to use the NIV out soul winning, on whose authority is he making that statement? On whose? I can only think of one person's authority he's talking about, and that's his own. I've had discussions with preachers out in this parking lot that think it's okay. You know what? They need to humble themselves a little bit and understand that God gave us a word. And He only gave us one in our language. It's amazing to me. His word endureth forever. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's word and every word endureth forever. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation for a week or two. From this generation until Jerry Falwell comes and makes the new King James, and then we got something better. Till the fellas come along and make the NIV, and once they make the NIV, we no longer need the Word of God anymore. Let me ask you another very important question. I know I get fired up about the King James Bible all the time. I get that. But on my tombstone, there better be 1611 put on there somewhere. If you don't need it, Uncle Joe, you're a smart fella. If you don't need the King James Bible for soul winning, what do you need it for? Somebody help me today. Jordan, what do we need it for? If you don't need it to help somebody to know who Christ is and help somebody to hear the wonderful words of God, so then faith cometh by and hearing by. I don't understand it. If we don't need it for the faith and the hearing, why do we need it? Why are you telling me you're standing on the Bible, Brother Bill, if you're not going to stand on its salvation properties?
It's unnecessary. If I don't need it for salvation, I'll just take whatever I want. If I can get saved by any version, anything out there, I can just whatever it is, I can get saved, then we should just switch to the NIV now. More people would come. Come on, help me now this morning. You better understand something. Well, it's nitpicking. You bet. I'm going to pick that nit as long as I've got air in my breath. You know what's amazing to me? His word endureth forever. We can't hold on to a lot of things. But if Psalm 12, 6, and 7 is true, and this verse in 1 Peter is true, then God has got to be a liar if those are okay. Tell me I'm wrong. Because his says, this is the word. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. If a preacher gets outside of this word, he's outside of God's will. And if that's true, then there cannot be other versions out there. There can't be. They've got to all be wrong. Because things that are different are not the same. I know you've heard that, and I know it's not popular. Even it, but sad is, you know, it's killing me. It's killing me, Brother Rich. In independent fundamental rims, this is now, they don't know, they don't want to fight it anymore. It's not about a battle. The battle's over. It's amazing to me how quickly God's people can get distracted by smart people. I've told you this over and over again. I'd just rather stay an idiot. I'd rather be dumb. No, this is it. This is it. I'm just going to be dumb. I'm going to be dumb and believe that this is the pure word of God. I'm going to be dumb and believe this is inspired. I'm going to be dumb and have faith that I've got to have this, and I'm not going to take anything else as a substitute. I'm just going to stay dumb because I'm not that intelligent to figure out which one is right and whose authority. If I came to you and said, hey, the NIV is good enough, whose authority am I using? Not God's authority. His word endureth forever. All right, I'll quit. Isaiah chapter 26. It's walking through Hobby Lobby. I know most of you don't see me going to that place. But I actually like that store, so that probably paints me in a whole different light. I'm not any lighter in my loafers as I was before I went there, but I do like that store. There's a lot of neat things in there. And it's amazing, you go through, and Hobby Lobby's a Christian store, but half of their stuff is Bible, and half of it is not. And it claims to be Bible, but it's really not Bible. You know, I'm thrilled that I can tell the difference. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26. Trust ye, verse 4. Let's go back to 3. Let's go back to 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. That must be coincidental, right? That keepeth the truth, whatever. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why isn't your life peaceful? Wouldn't you like peace today? I'm just asking. Wouldn't you like peace today? Wouldn't you like to have a place that is peaceful? Do you know why we get so wound up and stressed out? I'm with you. I get stressed out too. School's coming. Man, August 26th, our first day of school. I am stressed out. I am stressed out. I'm beyond capacity. I cannot believe my hair is not completely snow white. Thank you. I'm glad you came today. You know, what's amazing to me is that if we can get ourselves alone and think about God for a minute, he gives you a peace, doesn't he? That everything's going to be all right. God's going to take care of it. No matter how bad it gets. I know things get bad sometimes. But God will take care of it. Aren't you glad that open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Isn't that good? See, we have a hard time trusting God.
a very hard time trusting God. If I could go back 20 years, there's a lot of things that I would change. Things that I did, actions that I did, oh Lord have mercy. Things that I said, things that I thought. It's amazing to me. Wouldn't you love to have a chance to trust God a couple times in your life? To go back and say, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to take this into my own hands. Wouldn't you? Not that you're not doing anything, but you're trusting in God to take care of it. Wouldn't you like to go back and be able to just trust God and let God give you that perfect peace? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. His strength endures forever. Nothing lasts forever. Christ's strength does. His being strong is found in your weakness. In allowing God to lead, in allowing God to direct. You know, it's amazing to me how we have a hard time letting God have the steering wheel. How we have a hard time letting God have the reins. How we have a hard time letting God steer. I'll never forget the little bumper sticker I saw. God is my co-pilot. My answer to him is you're sitting in the wrong seat, Jack. Matter of fact, why don't you just go back into the luggage room or the lavatory and let God have both seats up front. You know, it's amazing to me how quickly we take the reins out of God, saying, oh, God, I know that you love me. I know you care about me. I know the Almighty. You're the beginning and the end. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm headed, all those things. But God, you know what? I'm going to take it from here. Can you imagine that? It's like a 2-year-old baby telling mom and dad, I got the stove. I'll take care of it. And allowing the baby to do it. See, God allows us to do things, doesn't he? God allows us. God allows us to make those choices, doesn't he? God allows us. Here, I'm going to let you do something if you want to. I would to God we could just stop and say, no, God, really. I'll let you go ahead and do it. I know you want me to, but God, I'll just go ahead and let you make that choice. It's real easy to preach, very hard to do. It's amazing to me how his strength, the things that he can do, if we trust in him, he'll give us perfect peace. If we trust in his strength, in the strength that endures forever, my strength is not going to last forever. I played basketball yesterday. I'm telling you right now, I needed to go and die right after that. There was not a dry spot on my shirt or anything else. I was dying. Fat boy needs to stop playing basketball, I'll tell you that. And there I am playing basketball with these guys, and we're working hard. And I'm telling you, I find myself all the time doing, just didn't feel strong anymore. Just didn't feel like I had that same strength. You ever been through that? But God's strength never weakens. God's strength never goes backwards. God's strength is always strong, and it endures forever. Wouldn't you think we would let God take control? Wouldn't you think we'd let God hold us up? Wouldn't you think we'd let God take care of what we need? Wouldn't you think we'd let God, we'd just go ahead and be weak and let God be strong? Wouldn't you think? But how many times do we go in our own strength? Huh? How many times do we go in our own abilities when God is the one that's strong forever? I can't do it. That's okay. God can. I'm not strong enough. That's good. But God is. Do you see what life can do? Do you see what things can do in our life? Our strength does not last forever. God's strength does last forever. One more and I'm all done for today. Hebrews chapter 8. Well, all done for a few minutes. Turn to Hebrews. I'm going to give you this scripture and then we're going to pray. This is one of the verses I am most thankful for. This is one of the things, the teachings, the doctrine that I am most thankful for in my life. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Did you hear that, Christian? And his mercy endures forever. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 tells you this. God's forgetfulness when it comes to your sins and your unrighteousness
will never, ever fail. Isn't God good today? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord God, I thank you for your forgetfulness. We'll get more into this next week, God, but Lord, please help us.
Help us to praise you more. Help us to love you more. There's things, Lord, I believe that I take so for granted. And Lord, I need not to. Lord, I need to just rely on you in everything that happens in my life. And Lord, so often I try to do things on my own. And Lord, I'm no good on my own. Lord, please keep teaching me. Keep being willing to take the reins from me. Lord God, and let me be more willing to give them to you. Lord, please help us today. Help my preacher to come back to 100% health. Lord, we need him. He's our shepherd. Lord, please give him back to us 100%. And Lord, guide and direct every ounce of the church service today so that you can be praised and you can be exalted and we can think about you more. Lord, be with us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Break for about...